Hello, everybody. Welcome to the webinar. Today, we are going to be diving into HTML and CSS. This webinar is happening in September 2015, and today we're going to be exploring and diving into the basics. We are going to learn about how HTML works and how we can actually use it to make our websites better. And why I say that is because you can infinitely control exactly what your website does, how it displays things, the color, the shapes, the sizes, all that kind of good stuff you can learn and you can implement with HTML and CSS. And so today, what we're going to do is going to go through a presentation, and actually there's zero presentation. It's going to be me showing you how to do things within HTML. And the reason that I'm doing this is mainly because I've never done a webinar on HTML and CSS. And the other reason is that I think it is very, very highly underutilized. The HTML is very, very simple. It's very easy to understand and grasp. And I think over the course of this hour, you can really kind of get a good understanding of how HTML works, how CSS works, how it works together, how they display different things and how they work and whatnot. So this is a kind of a guide that I wish that I would have had when I was first getting started with HTML. And when I was first building my very first website, well, I used Microsoft FrontPage, but we won't talk about that. The second platform that I used was called Adobe Dreamweaver. And that was the platform that I used. And I used the visual editor all the time. So if I wanted to add bullets or if I wanted to add a link or whatnot, then I would actually just do it in the visual editor. It was very much like using Microsoft Word or even the visual editor within WordPress. But there were some times that maybe my link wouldn't highlight the entire thing. Maybe the last three letters weren't linked, or I didn't really understand how it was working and why different words weren't linked, or why sometimes I couldn't get the spacing quite right. And it just made me really, really frustrated. And so I started kind of investigating, trying to figure out actually how HTML worked. And what I did, and one of the ways that I taught myself, was I would do something in the visual editor and then I would switch to the HTML mode and see, hey, how did that work? Did that do anything? Like, and what type of markup and what type of code is there? So that's kind of what we're going to dive in today. Again, this is a live webinar. If you're watching it live, of course, if you're watching a replay, it's obviously a replay. But if you're on the live webinar, feel free to jump in with any questions that you may have during the course of the presentation, and I will go ahead and try to answer them as best as I can. We're going to be using a live version of WordPress that's running right here locally on my computer. I'm using desktop server. You can find out more at yourwebsiteengineer.com/desktop server. And first, let's define what HTML and CSS is before we really dive in and really get started. So HTML stands for Hypertext Markup Language. And that's basically a way it marks up text. It does some things to the text of our website to allow us to style things properly and for it to display things in the correct way. And I'll show you what I mean in just a second. And CSS, that stands for Cascading Style Sheets. And CSS is what is like the global styling of your entire website. So, you know, CSS is built into every theme that's out there. Otherwise, your site would be nothing but just text. And within your site, you can do some really cool things within CSS. So for example, maybe on your particular theme, if you try to make things bullets, instead of maybe circle bullets, maybe they're square bullets. And that's built into the theme and that's defined in the CSS. And so think about anything that is globally the same. Like, that's the big thing about CSS, is it basically you write the code once for CSS, and then every time you add that particular element, then it's going to look the exact same way. So maybe you want to have your heading number 3. Maybe you want that to be orange because orange is your favorite color, just like mine. And maybe you want it orange and underlined. And you do that, you set that property, and then every time you add an H3 tag, then that's going to render in orange and underline. And of course, I'm getting just a little bit ahead of myself. So let's go in and let's take a look right inside of the WordPress dashboard. And we're just going to go ahead, and it's going to be WordPress 4.3. And we're just going to dive in. I've got a whole list of things beside me that I want to make sure that I cover during the course of the presentation. And as long as I can get out of the preview window here, we can go ahead and get started. So right here is my local version that we'll be using. It's 2016 or 2015, I guess. I'm jumping the gun just a little bit. 2016 isn't out yet, but this is the 2015 default theme. And this is just, you know, what happens when you install WordPress. I literally installed WordPress locally here on my computer maybe 15 minutes ago. So I've done nothing to this website except for I've removed the plugins that we didn't need, like Hello Dolly and Akismet. And then I've just made sure that my themes are updated. Those are the only things that I've done to this site. Now, you may say, Dustin, why? How did you get this yellow or the orange bar across the top? Again, I'll remind you that orange is my favorite color. And so I wanted to make sure that all of my local sites are running. That way I can easily know which site is local and which site is live. So my live site always has a black admin bar, just like normal. Well, this is part of desktop server. And what that is it gives us the ability to, it also has that text up in the upper right-hand corner that says local development environment or local development website. So that is, that's just why my bar is orange. It makes it very, very easy for me to know that I'm working locally on my computer right now and I'm not doing anything on a live server. So let's go into, we'll just go dive right in here. The first thing I want to do is I want to just show you a little bit about HTML. So we're going to dive into HTML first. We're going to learn about the tags and some of the things that HTML does. And then we'll dive into styling particular elements within a page or within a post. And then what we'll do is we'll look at some global style things. And then we can go ahead and go from there. So let's go ahead. We're first going to go, and I'm just going to start editing this post. It's the Hello World post. It doesn't matter what post you do. You can do pretty much anything that you need or anything you want. So when you come to WordPress, you know, you're going to get into this visual editor, and you're going to see, like, this is the text that you're going to see. So if I wanted to make WordPress bold, I could hit bold there. If I wanted to make it italics, maybe I could say edit, and I'm going to italicize that and delete it, and we'll do the strike through. So this is, you know, this is using the WYSIWYG editor, the visual editor, if you will, so you don't have to know any code. But what I want to do is I want to go in and I want to show you just a little bit about how we can what the code looks like and how it actually works. So we'll just head on over here to the text element. So this is where you'd want to make any HTML changes. And so you go ahead and click right there on the text. And now you're starting to see some weird looking brackets. And this is the markup that HTML is. And it's all, everything is within these less than and greater than brackets. So you can see this is where we bolded something. So it is wrapped in, and I call these tags. I think that's kind of the general term. So inside of strong tags is WordPress. And so within the strong tags, that is what's highlighting it and making it a bolder, it's making it a bold font. And so you can see the first one is, it's less than sign, strong, and then greater than sign. And then you write whatever you want to be bolded, and then you put less than sign, and then the slash, and then the strong, and then the greater than sign. So that's kind of the syntax. If you look over here, this is what we made italicized. And so you can see that the tag EM and EM, that's what's wrapping it and making it italicized. And then we got DEL for the delete or the strike through. And so that's a little bit about HTML. We're going to see a lot of that. So if we wanted to make something, you know, maybe an H2 tag, and there's different levels of H tags. There's H1 through H6. So H1, H2, H3, H4, H5, and H6. And each one is defined as a different size. So if we wanted to, we could just go down here and we could look at them. We can say H1 and we can say H1 tag, and then H1, and then we could say maybe H2 tag, and then H2, and then H2. And if I copy this, it might be just a little bit faster. If I say 4, and we'll say 3, we'll say 3, we'll say 3, we'll say, whoops, this one's supposed to be 4, and then this one's supposed to be 3. So if we go ahead and we'll just update this post, and then we'll open this post in a new tab here so we can see it, and we can kind of flip-flop back and forth between tags. So we can see that we still got our bold text, we've got the edit, we've got the delete, and now we see these tags and they're different sizes. And so we've got H1, H2, H3, H4, and that is all depending on these different tags. Now, depending on our CSS, depending on our styling, that's going to depend on what these tags look like. And so that's just kind of an overall basis of how things work. So there's all kinds of tags that are out there. There's tags for block quotes. There's tags for when you're creating lists. There's tags when you are creating, you know, all kinds of things. There's image tags, all kinds of things. So if we wanted to add an image, what we could do is we can actually add an image from the text editor, the HTML editor. And so we want to, I guess I probably don't have anything in here. I don't have any images on here. Maybe we'll just do, let's do this code screenshot that I have here. We will add that. And basically what we do when we click on this, when we can add it, we can actually see some code that's saying, hey, display this image. And when I added this image, it actually is linking to the image itself. And so what you can see right here is you can see this A, href, equals, and then this is the link to the image that we just added. So A, the A tag, and so all of this code that's highlighted and the ending part right here is what wraps anything that's inside of that will be a clickable link. So that's how we make images an actual link. And so if we would go in here and then look here, all the rest of this text, all of this text here is what controls an image. And an image tag is a little different than the rest of the tags that we've talked about, because the image tag, notice it only has one tag. There's not like a beginning and an end. So it starts with img, and then it says an src, which is the link to the actual image. And then we've got some other stuff in here that we can all define within the, it's within the media library, that editor window that was just open. We can just we can say how big the image is, what the height is, if it's aligned left or right or full center or whatever that is. And then it ends with the slash, and then it ends with the it ends with the greater than sign. So you can see that some of the code is just a little different. The ones that stick out to me in very that utilize this often, that's only like one particular tag, one of them is called the break, and it provides a line break. And so you can do something like this. This type of code will give you an actual line break. So maybe if you need a couple of line breaks, maybe if you wanted to, you know, space down your content just a little bit, you could put some line breaks. And then we could put some, I've got some lorem ipsum text that we can add to this real quick. And then maybe you wanted to have a horizontal rule, it's called. And that is another one that is just single tags like that. So those are kind of the three big ones, the image, the line break, and the horizontal rule. Now, if we update this and we take a look at it, we can go to our, we can go and reload the site. If we scroll down here, we're going to see this image. We see that it's clickable. When we click on the image, it actually will take us to that page itself. And then if we scroll down here, we can see that there is some, you know, there's our line breaks in there. It may or may not. It depends. Sometimes themes actually like strip out line breaks. I'll try to give you a better example so we can actually see it. And then there's that horizontal rule that we were using before. Now, one thing that you may notice is if you click on this link, it takes you away from the website and then opens the image in a larger screen. Well, what happens if you want that to be opened in a new tab? Well, we can do that within the media area if we wanted to, or what we could do is when we go to a link, and we can do this with any link that we want, we can add what's called a target blank. And I have this in Text Expander because I use it a lot and I don't want to have to like type it out every time because it's a pain to type in the underscore and the quotation marks. But it's basically you're setting the target equal to underscore blank. And that when you do that, that's going to open it up in a new tab. And so if we do that, we'll go back to our main tab, we'll do a refresh right here. And then from the refresh, when we click on it, it's going to open that up in a new tab. So this is really helpful, especially if you're trying to open up a new tab within a link or something that you're creating in a widget. I'll show you some of that stuff in a little while, but those are some things that you can do when it comes to some HTML. So if you wanted to make small little tweaks without having to open up the media library and kind of figure out, okay, where is this and how does this work, then you can do it with just a little bit of code in the HTML. Now what I want to show you is how we want to, if we want to style something very, very particular on this page only, how would we do that? Well, there's several different ways we can do that. There are, you know, there's umpteen, you know, different ways that you can do this. The first way that what you could do is just define the H1 and we could give it a style. So we could just put in here style, and we could put any type of CSS property that we'd want to. We'll talk about CSS in a little bit, but for the sake of doing that, we are going to set the color and we're just going to say orange, because again, that's my favorite color. So we'll go ahead and do that, and we can hit update, and we can go and refresh, and fingers crossed that H1 tag is now orange. Indeed it is. So there's a lot of properties that we can add. Now granted, this is only going to happen on this particular post. If you have other posts that you have an H1 tag, then you'd have to go in and you'd have to put H1 style equals color colon orange, and then you could do that for every H1, but it's going to make more sense to put it in a CSS file, so it will always turn to be that color. So if you want to have more properties, like maybe we want to have it underlined for some reason, every property needs to be separated by a semicolon. So if we wanted to do, and let's see, it's called text. Whoops, of course. I had a I had a text expander snippet that opened up on me. So say text decoration, and then we want to say underline. So we can go ahead and do that. It's just best practice to always end with a semicolon. You can put spaces between them. They don't have to be spaces. But if we go ahead and update this, then we can go ahead and take a look and see if it's if it's updated or not. Normally what I do, there's lists and lists of all the different kind of style tags that are out there. But normally what I would do is if I wanted to say like underline text HT or yeah, I would want to say like, how do I underline CSS? Let's see what I would Google. I would probably open up my tab and I would say underline text CSS is how I would search for it. And then I would get to the W3 schools tag and it's going to give us all the different options that we could do. So we could do text decoration overline, or we could do line through, or we could do underline. Those are the three properties that you can use for the text decoration. So these are all the different preferences out there that you can use. So that is just a little bit what W3schools.com does a great job of showing you all kinds of different things when it comes to CSS, how you do colors and all kinds of stuff. So I'll show you that a little bit more in just a second. So let me look at my notes here to make sure that we have everything else that we're looking at. I guess one of the other things I didn't really highlight that can be done, and this is just kind of a little hack that if you're in the visual editor that you may or may not know, is you can actually, like, if you wanted to, like, say make a line break here, we'll put a period here, then if you hit enter, it adds like this extra like space here. It's kind of a big space because it's like putting a it's just making this extra space between the paragraphs. But if you do a shift and then enter, it will actually enter down. And it's now two separate lines. It's harder to really see in this example, but maybe if we did this, let's back up. And instead of putting the period here, let's put the period here. And then if I do a shift enter, we can see that it automatically just enters down one line. If we continue to hold shift, then we have a little bit more finite control on what kind of spacing there is between the different paragraphs. So that's one little trick. That's a shift enter will do that and allow you to kind of have a little bit more control on what that does. So that's kind of, if you wanted to go through and make individual changes within your website. So if you wanted to make something, you know, maybe you wanted to make one piece of text, you know, bold or yellow or blue or, you know, a different color, and it's a one-time thing, you could do something like this. You could have H1, and then you could do style, and then you could put that right in there. Well, what happens if you wanted to make a word in the middle of the post? You know, maybe you wanted to make it orange. You know, maybe you don't wanted to make it, you know, how would you do that? How would you make something in line with your text? How would you do that? You can't really like put an H1 tag. Like say we wanted to do something, maybe we wanted a little bigger of a font, but we wanted to, if we do H6, and then if we do style equals, and then we do color orange. Oops. And we wanted to put it around here because we want the text a little bigger, but we want it orange right there in line. But if we update it, look what's going to happen. Hate to sound all negative Nancy on you, but it's not going to work right. When we scroll down here, we've got this text is just, it's broken up. It's supposed to be all in a paragraph. Well, the thing is, when you use any of the H1, H2, H3, H4, H5, and H6, that actually has style elements in it to do a line break. So it's supposed to be on its own line itself. So anytime that you use an H tag, that's what it's going to do. So instead, what we need to do is we actually need to use a span tag. So if we do S-P-A-N, we can do a span tag here. And we can do right here, we can do S-P-A-N. And then if we update this, that's going to give us the overarching control and keep that piece of text right in line. So if we wanted to do, you know, whatever we wanted to do, we can do that right there like that by using the span tags, which I think is really cool. That if you wanted to, you know, somehow customize, maybe you wanted to have a special font on this type of thing, you could do that by doing a span tag, and that keeps the paragraph tags and everything working well. So that is pretty much all that I wanted to show you right here in the HTML editor. Now we're going to go ahead and add some CSS, and I'm going to show you some tricks that we can do with some CSS. The first thing, though, is we're going to need a plugin to do this. Normally, I would just recommend using the Jetpack plugin. For this particular case, like, I'm not going to use Jetpack because it's kind of a pain to set Jetpack up on a site that's running locally and that's not really connected, you know, online or whatnot. So there is another plugin that I'm going to use. It's called Simple Custom CSS. It's one of the better CSS ones that I found out there. So custom CSS. And we'll go ahead and add this one. It's got more than 100,000 active downloads and installs. So it's a pretty decent one to use. And so we'll go ahead and activate that so we have the ability. I'm also not sure what's going on here on my dashboard. It's all kind of goofed up for some reason and have no idea why that is. But we'll go ahead and pull open the custom CSS page right here. So custom CSS is, it just gives us the ability to add custom CSS. And CSS is basically taking that same code. Remember this style, everything that was in the style tag. So it was style equals, and then in quotation marks, it was like color equal or color colon orange or text decoration colon underline or whatever that text is, where we can add that right here to our elements. And you may be thinking, Dustin, okay, you know what CSS is and in HTML, you know what this text is and how to generate this CSS, but I've never written CSS. How can I come about, you know, figuring out what CSS text I actually need to work on and what do I need to generate? And so let's go ahead and we need one more little tool to do this. It's an extension, a Chrome extension. I believe it's available. I know that for a fact that it's available on Chrome. I think it's a Firefox extension as well, but it's called StyleBot. And you can find that if you just look for extensions, just type style, STYLEBOT. It's one word, and then extension, which in whichever browser that you're using. And you can do that when you are, or you can do that while you're looking for extensions. So you just would Google that, and then you can install that. And what that's going to do is it's going to give you a little button up here that gives us the ability to open StyleBot. This is probably one of the coolest things. It's a neat little hack that gives you the ability to just start customizing your website. And then what you can do is you can just paste all this code in right into your CSS file in this custom or the simple custom plugin. So let's go ahead and just let's play around with Hello World. So Hello World, and we can see right here up at the top, this is actually what's called a, this is what's called the class. And so you can see that this is an H1 and it's in the class entry-title. Now it's not super important to know this, but it's really important to know if you were trying to design and develop a website from scratch and you wanted to give different areas, different classes and really control your CSS. This, the overarching part of this webinar is just to kind of show and highlight how to like make simple little changes with the CSS to make our website look exactly like we want it to. So what we can do here is we're going to target this font here. We want to make it just a little bit of a change. So what you can do is you can go in and you can pick the different font families. Maybe we want this to be Roboto if we wanted to, or we can go to Georgia. We can pick any of these fonts really. And this is all like just working on our site. It's not doing it anywhere else in the world. We're the only people that can see this right now. And so maybe we want a monospace file. Let's do that because we can really tell that that's different. And then maybe we want the font to be at 72 pixels. And so, okay, now it's getting a little bigger. Maybe we want it to be in all small caps if we wanted to. We could do this so it's like in small caps, or we could say it's in normal. We can say we can turn that off if we wanted to. We can transfer this to all uppercase if we wanted to. We can do ABC font. We can do all lowercase. We can do no transformation. Let's just keep it as it was like that. And we can do a text underline. And let's maybe change the color. Let's make it a nice shade of, you think I'm going to say orange, but we'll do green instead. Wow, that is ugly. So let's do that. So we've customized this particular part of our website. So now what do we do? Okay, how do we get whatever we just did and what did we just do? How do we get that information into our WordPress site? And so if you go down here, and there's a tab down here on the bottom that says Edit CSS. And if you click on this, it's actually going to show you some of the HTML code or the CSS code that was just written so that we can paste into our website. So if we wanted to, all we'd have to do is we can go in here and we can go and highlight this text right here. This is all we need to do. We can essentially just copy the whole thing if we wanted to. I don't think we actually need this because we're not using the Georgia font anymore. I think that loaded when I first the tag that I was using, the Georgia text, but then we can go ahead and we can copy this and we can put it over here in our custom CSS page, and we can update our custom CSS. And then if we wanted to, we could refresh this page and voila, it is there. It's saved as this absolutely ridiculously hideous color, but we made that change. And now anytime that we have a new post, so say if we go in and we say we want to do a new post and we are going to post, and we can say, great, great, if I can type today, great green color. And then I'm just going to put some lorem ipsum text. And if we publish this and we view the post, what do you think is going to happen? That text is green. Like, it's right there. It has changed everywhere. So everywhere that we put CSS code, whenever we make a CSS change, that is going to, it's going to take those changes and it's going to apply them globally to everything that is on the site. So say, for example, if we go back and edit this post, if we put the H1 tag in here, remember the H1 tag was the last one that we did that was orange. Is this text orange? And then close that H1 tag. And then if we update this, we're going to see that, of course, it's not orange because we only, in the previous post, we only said that we added that style in line. And how custom CSS works, like if you have a, I'll show you how this custom CSS works. So let's go ahead and if we pull up our style, open StyleBot again, we want to take this text right here and we want the color to be blue. Okay, so that text is blue now. We'll take that edit CSS. Let's go ahead and add this right here to our CSS as well. So we're basically saying that this is basically, this is a very distinct, let's see, how do I want to say this? So all of this text is basically saying that any H1 tags that are appearing in the class entry content are going to be blue. And so what that means is not every H1 site wide is going to be blue, but anyone that's in the part of the theme that is the entry content. And it gets a little bit confusing. There's a lot of things to learn about CSS, but in general today, we're just going to say all H1 tags are going to be blue. So if we go ahead and update our CSS and we go and we do a refresh on our page, we can look and see, yes, our text is orange. Now, if we go back to post one, where can we easily get back to hello world? If we go back to post one, we can see the H1 tag is now orange, or the H1 tag is now blue as well. So that is how that works. It like overwrites the different colors of the style. Now, I would have thought, I see why. Now, let me, of course, this always happens when we're doing a live preview. Because in theory, I'm going to open this up in a new tab. This, I suspected this to be orange because it makes more sense. Whenever you have something that's defined in line, that always is going to take precedence over what is in the CSS code. So think of it as whatever you define CSS, and then if you want to make a custom change on top of the CSS, or a custom change that doesn't affect anything but that particular page, if you do it within the element itself, just like this text is here, then this text should be orange. And I'm not sure exactly why this isn't... we're just going to remove all our code. So yeah, so I think that was something goofy going on with the style bot or the app that's going on in there. So so we can see here if our H1 tag on this post is orange, but our H1 tag on this post is blue. And so anything that's written in CSS that's overwritten on a post level basis, that's going to be the one that takes precedence over that. So let's go ahead and I'm going to dive into some questions. There's not a lot else that I really wanted to kind of highlight. If you have any specific questions or anything that you want me to go over or talk through, let's go ahead and do that. I'm going to read through some of the questions and then we'll get back to it. So let's see here. It looks like there's a little bit of a dialogue that's going on. Eric says, in the text editor, when you do a return, does that treat it like a BR element? And also, what is there's a space there when you get a minute. So the BR, I think it actually does that. Basically what happens is when, most of the time when you are writing text, that it will wrap it what's called in P tags. And these are just paragraph tags. And it's normally like this. So you'll have, let's put these paragraphs back together. So we've got P tags like this. And so it's all one big thing. If you hit the enter button in the visual editor, just the regular enter button, what it's going to do is actually, it's going to put P tags around everything. Okay. And so that's why you get that little extra spacing. Usually in CSS, there's a little bit of there's some code that's in there that allows the paragraphs not to be right on top of each other. And so when you do that shift enter, essentially it is like doing a break essentially, but it is just basically doing this, what I did right here it's adding a line break without actually like typing the line break. And it is giving us an extra space without adding those extra P tags is what essentially it's doing. There may be a question about what this is, and this is a non-breaking space. And so basically if you wanted to add, I use these sometimes if you wanted to indent text. So I've again have this in a text expander shortcut. So it's NNB, NNB, NNB. And if I want to do a lot, then I'll do something like this. And maybe I can say text here. And we can update this and we can see that this pushes our text from left to right and puts some extra spacing. And I use this sometimes if you need, I don't know, this, see how it's indented like that? That's what that is. And so it's NB, this is an HTML element. So it's the and sign NBSP colon. And so that's what that is. So that's pretty neat. That's a little hack. Sometimes I find that within WordPress, if you don't have some WordPress themes, if you don't have a widget configured, then it shows like, please configure widgets, or it puts like a whole list of like default ones. Well, if you put a text widget with the NBSP colon, you know, with the and sign in front of it, then it actually thinks that, oh, there's an actual widget there, and then it won't display those. So that's kind of a little hacky thing to do that as well. It's funny. I'm now seeing this with Eric. He's trying to type this NBSP and it's stripping it out within Webinar Jam, not allowing to go do that. So the Tim's saying he's having problems with the webinar. That may be just a connection problem or a Google Plus thing. That should be, if you refresh, you should be able to catch back up. Again, if you're having problems, you may not be hearing this. So that's that question. David asks, I'm curious to know how to change the link text in just the body of my pages and not the header, footer, menu, or widgets. So you want to change the link. Let's see. You want to change the link text or link text color, I'm assuming maybe. So yeah, you would do basically the same thing. So you could say, let's find something to make a link. Let's do this and we can make this a link. If you want to be lazy and you don't want to actually write the link text, then you could just go ahead and we'll http://dh.com, which is not really a thing. And then what you would do is you would go in here and you would say style equals color, and then we'll say green. So that would do that on that particular link itself. Now, if you are wanting to change just all of the links on your website within the, if you want to do all of the links within the body text, now that would be a little bit different of an issue. Again, and that would, this text right here is how you would do it on a one link basis, which would make zero sense. You wouldn't want to do that because that would take forever. Like, so what you would want to do here, let's see, were we on this post? We were on Hello World. Let's look in here. So if we look at this, this is our green link text. And so what would we do? And this is another thing that you could do. If you didn't want to install the StyleBot thing, what you can actually do too is if you right click in Chrome or Safari or Firefox, you can do it in an inspect element. And basically what that does is that pulls up all of the CSS that's coming in from this for each particular element as you hover over them or whatnot. And so what I would do is I would go in here, and if you click this plus button, it will actually give you the link. Like, it's going to say if you do this, then every link would turn green. That's not what you're wanting. What you're looking for is something along those lines that's going to show everything that's in the entry content and it is a link, then you could change that to a certain color. So every link within the class entry content, which is everything that's kind of in the body text of a page or a post. If you have, David, if you have a link to your website, go ahead and just pop that into the chat room and then we'll look on that. We can look at it and we can work on that right now so I can give you that exact text. That wouldn't be a problem. Tracy says, if I want to experiment with this on my live site, could you just create a new private page? Yeah, you could do that, or you could create a page and save it as a draft, and then you could view the draft. There's lots of different ways that you could do it. You could make it a private password protected page and not put it in your menu. You could do a lot of things to just kind of play with it. And then so that's what I would recommend there, Tracy. That's a good question. Tim asks, any recommended .css file editors out there? There's a ton of them out there. I use Sublime Text as one. I know that there's a lot of different ones out there that will help you autocomplete. And it depends on your platform, whether you're on Mac or PC or Linux. So that depends. Like, I would just kind of Google and try them. There's a lot of free ones. But what he's asking is the CSS file editors. Some of them will highlight code differently depending on how they look. So if we look at our simple custom CSS, you can see like this element is a different color because it's just the syntax of how it works within CSS. And so that's what a good reason for putting in and editing in a CSS editor is you can do that. Sometimes if you would put like, I don't know, text decoration like this in a good text editor, if I spell this right, Then you could hit this, and then maybe you could hit a tab, and then it would tab you through all the different options that are out there. That's not really the case here within WordPress, within using the simple CSS editor, but that could be something if you wanted to do a little bit more high-end type of CSS work. So that is a question there. There's a question that says how to work locally in WordPress. The big one within WordPress is the one that I use is called Desktop Server. And if you go to, you can either go to serverpress.com or I have an affiliate link at yourwebsiteengineer.com/. Let's see, it's Desktop Server. And you can download, you can set up 3 sites for free if you'd like using their free plan, or you can do unlimited sites with their premium plan. And basically what you do is you install the software, you click a button, and then it installs WordPress for you. And then it's a little bit of a, it takes a little bit of time to get all of your site from live to local. If you've got some time, there's a webinar replay that I did about this a few months ago. It might have been last year, that's called How to Develop Locally, and it shows you and walks you through all of the steps right there. Mark asked, what about the WP Auto P? Doesn't that do the same thing as line breaks? Mark, I believe that's the case. I believe the Auto P adds, when you hit the enter key, it automatically breaks things into new paragraphs. I believe that's what that is. Tracy says, I've noticed when I visually edit some of my older published posts that the line breaks disappear, but in the text editor, it's coded to have line breaks. Any idea why this happens? I think that really depends sometimes on the theme itself. I guess I would have to, I'm not 100% sure there. Sometimes there's some quirky things that happen when you go from visual to the live editor or to the HTML editor and back and forth. If you flip-flop back and forth, that sometimes leads to some issues and some of the HTML stuff gets stripped out. And so I'm not 100% sure what may be going on there, but it could be something that's theme related. Eric says, so if you're using the text editor, not the visual editor, when you do not put the P tags, how does that treat it in the text editor? Because I would think that in the text editor require you to define them in order, or does not just spit them out as text with no semantic element. So I think if we look at our post here, we don't have, let's take out these P's. And then if we do a refresh on here and we take a look, it's going to automatically, like WordPress automatically wraps the P tags in there, even though that we don't see them in the HTML, like it's not here. That's what that WP Auto P function does. And it will automatically wrap all of your paragraph tags within the P tags. So that's what that does. Tom says, is there a difference in the text tab editor in WordPress.com sites? Recently tried to add the P tags and seemed to strip it out. If you put them in the visual editor, it's going to strip them out, but you should be able to control them and put them into the text editor without any problems on WordPress.com. I mean, we can try it real quick. We can try it on WordPress.com. Let's do a new post. I think it'll be really hard to see testing P tags because, like, if we put. Because it's going to auto add them for the most part. Let's see what happens. We'll just preview this. I guess we need to save it so we can, we'll publish it here. Yeah, it kept them there. I don't know what it's going to really look like, but I mean, yeah, I guess it, it puts the line breaks like it should. So I guess I don't know, were you trying to put them in the, might have accidentally been putting them in the visual editor. I'm not 100% sure there. Eric says, what is the HR tag and what is the colon after when you are looking at the inspector? So the HR tag is a horizontal rule. And so if we look at it, it's just this horizontal line that's just built into it. Let's see if we can find the... Like these tags here, like the last child or after, it's basically giving CSS to say it does this after or before. And so that's kind of a, let's see here. It's kind of like a, what you would do is if you would want to control specific elements within your site's theme without access to any HTML. So if you couldn't really write HTML and you wanted to add, you know, specific text to the footer, I know like within WordPress.com sites, and say, for example, there at the very bottom of the sites, it says the 2015 blog at WordPress.com. This is like part of the terms of service that this always has to be there on every website. But if you wanted to add like copyright 2015 before that or after that, you can do that with CSS. On WordPress.com, you can't edit any of the themes HTML, you can only add CSS. So that's what the after and the before classes do. They're called pseudo classes. So they're not really classes, but they just basically will append text to before or after a specific class. And so that's what those are. Let's see here. Ben asked, what about CSS Hero? I've heard good things. I've actually never really done much with CSS Hero. I just haven't had the time or the, you know, I just really haven't had time to really check into it and try to figure out what CSS Hero, is it better? Is it worse? Like I like Stylebot. And so Stylebot is what I end up using. Let's see. The body of the pages. So let's pull up a page here. This is David asking for a little bit of assistance here. So let's try to find a page that has a link on it. And then David, what color are these links? So these black ones here, I assume. There's quite a few classes that we could add this to. Probably something like this. We'll open up Stylebot here so we can see this. Whoops, we need a period in front of this. And we're going to be styling the A tags. So remember, this I guess is a good thing too. When you're doing CSS, like if you want to tag or if you want to do specific tags, then what you can do is you can actually like So you say the class. So this is the class that we're going to be targeting, and we're going to target only the A link. So anything that's a link. We could target, if we wanted to target the strong tag, we could make the strong tag blue and extra bold. We could do the block quote, and we can make it do exactly what we want it to. And so if there are elements that are part of HTML, then you just put the A tag there. So I could say like text decoration underline. That would underline them, and we can do a color of orange. Unless you want something else, David, it's going to be orange. And so that should only change the text. So these are all links, and those weren't changed. We can't really see these, but these are all links, and they're all on the black side. So we'll just wait and see what color, David, that you'd be interested in. Let's see. Tracy says, you rock, Dustin. Question, I've uploaded my Facebook conversation box to my site and have the code, but now cannot find it on my site. Even when I use the browser extension or the browser inspector. Tracy, can you just go ahead and pop your URL here in the text or in the chat, and we can go ahead and kind of dive into that and look. The questions and answers will be included in the playback, so you can see all of those as well. So that is good. Let's see. Tom said it was in the HTML editor. Is there? He was the one with the P tags going that were being stripped out. I guess where were you just adding P tags in the text, or can you explain a little bit more what you were trying to do with them and see? Maybe I can see why they might have been stripped out. Oh, Tom's now saying to click on the visual tab and go back. Aha. Yeah, I think that's just kind of standard. Like, that happens quite a bit within WordPress when you go from back and forth. But did you find that when you switched, did it mess up the formatting? That would be a question, because you can see, like, remember earlier with these line breaks, it automatically added the P tag. So I can see why it might've stripped them out when you went to the visual tab and then went back. Eric says, is that the same in the text editor if you do not put HTML break and you just hit return a few times? Will it render line breaks or something? Sorry for all these questions about the text editor. No, the text editor, if you do a lot of enters, like, it actually, I don't think, HTML is really kind of silly in a way that, let's move these back up here. But if we do like this many enters, like we're putting lots and lots of enters, and we hit update and we do hello world, like, it's not going to put all of the, it might, I guess sometimes it seems like it doesn't put all the line breaks in and sometimes it does. So it's just good to know, like, if it's not giving you the breaks that you need, then it's kind of nice to be able to control that. I think WordPress is getting better in the fact that there's, you know, not as many, you know, we're getting newer versions and stuff like that. I guess one other thing that I use sometimes as kind of a little hacky type thing is if I really need a line break, or if I need to do a very specific amount of space, something you can do, and this is called, you can do, like, you can just do a class like this, and I call it a class clear. You can define this in CSS if you want to, but then you can do, like, you can do style equals, I'm going to say, like, I think if you do height of 100 pixels, something like that, and if we do maybe background color blue, we might be able to see it. I think this is what I normally do. Sometimes if you want to have like a really like distinct amount of space, then what you can do is you just define a new class, and then you can say, so here we've got 100 pixel, like I wanted 100 pixels between these. And so you can really control it in that way if you were trying to do something special. So this isn't anything earth-shattering. I'm just calling a new div class, which a div basically, so we talked about spans. So span classes, where is that span class? Span class will allow things to be in line. Div classes are very similar to the H classes, and that it does a line break and it allows text to be, you know, on a separate level, if you will. I think that makes sense the way I'm describing it. So div classes will break text. So if we actually put a div class right here, which we can totally do, you'll see this bottom paragraph is going to be split into two paragraphs. Yeah, just like so. So div classes will do breaks, line breaks like that, whereas the span tags will do all things in line. So that's the difference there. David says that he would rather have blue links rather than orange links, which is fine. That's no problem. So what you do, David, is just you can actually take this code and you can do blue. Or if you wanted a very specific color of blue, something I didn't mention is there are what you could probably do is if you go into the, let's save this. But if we went in here and we changed the color, if you wanted a very specific color, like something like this. See how these codes are over here? These are what are called hex codes. And these hex codes are what can control WordPress, or what controls colors essentially. Like all these examples that I've been doing have been saying like, you know, orange or blue or green or whatever. But if you want more finite control, then what you would do is you would actually put the pound sign and then that number. So I know for a fact, like FF6600, that is orange. And so I know that FFF 00, that is a red color. And then I think if you go FF, FF is that blue color. So there's some different ways to do that. So that's what I would use, David. I would put this class resurrect-entry-content and then the A tag, and then you should be able to put any type of styling elements that you'd want to do that. We are going to go to Tracy's site, The Kitchen Girl, and look at her Facebook thing. Dennis says that you can change the, instead of just making your link blue, like you could do something cool and make it more of a button. So you could actually, if you wanted to, you could put a, can you put a border? Maybe you can't put a border around. Oh, we need to do this element itself. You can put a solid border around it. Like, click on my links. Click them. We can do all kinds of stuff. And we can make them extra thick if we wanted to. So there's some cool, like, fun little things that you can do with this StyleBot thing. See if people will actually click on the links if you do it that way. So let's see, let me go back and find Tracy's questions. The Facebook conversation box, but can't find it on my site. Even you use the browser. Did you put it in a widget, or is the box recent post? Is it a, is that it? That looks like it loaded on a page and not the home page. That could be a thing. Let's see here. Tom says, Tom was about the P tags removing, and that happens for WordPress.org sites. It happens for WordPress.com sites. I think those just kind of like, I honestly like don't really 100% know, but I know that there's sometimes when you switch from one tag or from the visual to the HTML editor, I know for a fact that some stuff gets stripped out, and I think that it gets stripped out and then it just gets auto added back in, which is kind of silly. I don't know if it's because if it stays there, if they don't strip it out, then if the P tags are there and then you wrap it in another P tag, if that really messes things up, or I'm not 100% sure. I think those are usually like the default tags, like the P tags are the ones that usually happens to a lot. But I know that if you add a class, so if you say span class equals, and then like link or whatever you call the span class or whatever you call the div class, like those things don't get stripped out. I know that for sure. But I know that P tags sometimes do. Tracy says, what is the top recommended WP product that every WordPress user should have in place if they're serious about their site? And what is the link to buy through? And what what's the link to buy it through your site? I would say it depends. Like, there's so many different things that I would say that everyone needs. I mean, the very first thing is everybody needs to have some sort of backup. That's 100% for certain. Like, if you don't have a website that's being backed up, like, that's the biggest thing. All of the links can be found at yourwebsiteengineer.com/resources. And that just basically kind of highlights all of the different affiliate links that I have with things. If you want to get serious with really like tweaking your site and you want to do it locally, like I said earlier, desktop server is the best place to do that. I'm just trying to think. There's so many different products and services that are out there with WordPress. Like, there's just some, I guess maybe one of the big ones that I've been liking recently is if you want an easy way for people to opt into your website, Opt-in Monster is really cool. That's a plugin that I use, and that has some really neat abilities to trigger. Like, if somebody comes to your website for the third time, then they can sign up for your email list and things like that. So again, all those links are at yourwebsiteengineer.com/resources. So yeah, it pops up here. It might be, Tracy, as I see through the comments, it looks like that's where it's supposed to. Maybe on the homepage, it's not triggered to do that. Or maybe there's some sort of something that's not making it display on the homepage. Let's see if it's on any of these other pages. Like, if we go to this post here, does it show up if we scroll down? There, that looks like Opt-in Monster almost, like I said. But yeah, it pulls up down here. So it may be some sort of setting that's just not displaying it on the homepage. Might be something to look at. Eric says, I use Membership 2 plugin, and when I put the short code, it shows up on a page. But when I use the Site Builder plugin to control it to be centered and not span the page, and when I test the plugin, like to register it with the build the site builder, it seems that the button does not direct you to the correct page anymore. I wonder if that's just a piece of the plugin, the short code not rendering properly when using the page builder. So are you just trying to think here, if I like to test the plugin to register it with the build of the site builder, it seems the button does not direct you. That's a tough question. That's probably something that there's some sort of conflict between the page builder and that you're the site page builder and the plugin. And I would probably have to reach out to either one of those developers. I would go for the plugin developer first, because they are more likely to try to support their plugin on multiple different types of websites or multiple types of themes. So that's where I would go with that. Yeah. So any other questions as we get ready to wrap up? I may have missed it. It wasn't intentional. Just go ahead and ask it again. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of chatter going on in the chat room. Appreciate everybody coming and hanging out and spending some time today, this afternoon or this evening or this morning or whatever time it was when you watched this webinar, or if you're watching the replay, just thanks so much for tuning in. There's so much that you can learn with CSS, and you can honestly spend like hours upon hours upon hours of time doing learning CSS, learning HTML. I guess one more thing that I get a request a lot, especially at WordPress.com, that sometimes people don't want the username displayed here. So how would you do that? What would you do to get rid of that? And normally what I do is I right click on that area and I will go to Inspect Element. And so I can find out what that is. And as you are looking at the element, whatever is highlighted here, like this is, let's see, byline, posted on. We can do byline. So we can see it's in the span class byline. And so if we just take the word byline here and we go and put it in our box up here, we put a period before any class, of course, byline. And then if you do display, none. That's like the holy grail of, hey, how do I remove this code? Well, you don't really necessarily have to remove it, but if you do a display none, it will essentially remove the code. Let's see. Question, do you have a tutorial or hints to help people who did not create a child theme before editing and publishing their website? I guess what type of tutorial you're looking for? If you didn't create the child theme, then you just have to be really careful if you tweaked any of your theme parts, like if you went in and you edited the theme itself, then you just have to be really careful if they offer an upgrade. If your site ever gets upgraded, your theme ever gets updated, then you want to make sure you don't hit that button because it will overwrite all of your changes. So that is, exactly what Dennis says. He was just kind of saying the same thing. If you make changes to the theme, then you update the theme, then you lose all the changes. The cool part is about using the CSS changes over here. If we use CSS in some sort of plugin, then when you, if you change themes or your theme gets updated, all of this stuff is saved in a different spot and it never gets overwritten. And so you wouldn't lose your custom changes. You know, some of the things may break if they change the classes or if they've changed, you know, some of the different tags, but for the most part, you shouldn't ever worry about if I would have made all these changes and then updated 2015, instead of doing the opposite, like I did this morning, then I wouldn't have had any problems. Like there wouldn't have been any issues with me updating my site. Let's see. Eric says, how can I use the regular WordPress registration screen? Like the only place to see to make it sign in by turning on Meta or something to show the place of a login. I think that's going to depend on your membership plugin. There should be a way to, a short code within that membership plugin that you can display the login form, or you can display like credentials, or sometimes the different plugins have different areas that you can have. You can create a login area on your sidebar. There's nothing default out of WordPress that you can use to recall the that login form unless you just redirect people to your site.com/wp-login. That you can really use. There's other plugins that are out there, I believe, that you can just download one of those plugins, but I would look through the memberships plugin that you're using to have those people give the ability to register. Some of the membership plugins like have the ability to, when somebody signs up and they pay, it will automatically generate them a username and password and send it off to them. And then they can just log in with a text link or whatnot. But that's going to depend 100% on the membership site itself. So I think that's going to wrap up. There doesn't seem to be any other CSS questions that are coming in. If you do have any other questions that there, you know, you think of during the course of the week or the month, feel free to email me and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. You can email Dustin at yourwebsiteengineer.com. And CSS is a tricky thing, and it is it can be really fun and it can be really stressful at times too, when you've been looking at code for, you know, hours upon hours and you're like, how, why, what's going on? You know, like that happens to me all the time. And then you get it and you're just like so excited. But I enjoy CSS. I enjoy HTML, and they're really like the first level of coding that I actually learned. And it just makes a real difference when you know just a little bit of the basics and you can add some of these tags, especially if you're trying to create a widget, a text widget, or do some little custom stuff like that. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being interested and asking lots of great questions. It was a lot of fun to try to answer those and tackle those live. And I didn't make too many mistakes today that I have to edit out. So thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk again next month. Next month, we'll have another webinar on Friday, that first Friday of the month. And I'm not sure what we'll talk about, but we'll come up with a topic then. So until then, take care and spend time this weekend. If you've got a little extra time on Labor Day weekend, spend time playing with your sites and making some custom changes with a little bit of CSS. That's all I've got for you, and we'll take care and we'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.